For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I hesitate to reveal this about myself, because I know that you would generally perceive me as above such things. I know you see me as educated, intelligent, refined, cultured. Certainly not as one given to, you know, lesser pursuits, popular media, certain science fiction movies, fantasy movies, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, that sort of thing. But I just tell you that I do occasionally watch such films, if only to keep myself in touch with the common man. And I really enjoy them. I put my new favorite series in that genre. I finally saw the other night, for the first time, the latest in the Pirates of the Caribbean series. What's that? At World's End, is that it? How many have seen At World's End? How many have seen As the World Turns? Don't raise your hand. And I know that any real fan, you know, saw it the day it came out, or at least within the first few days. So when it's at the buck and a half show before you actually get around to seeing it, I'm probably not that much of a fan. But still, I got to tell you, I loved that movie, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. I loved it so much, in fact, I'll be preaching from it next Easter. I told Pastor Blaine that. He suggested maybe I should preach from the Bible instead. I think he's a little picky about stuff like that. And here's where I'm going with talking about popular movies and you know, Star Wars and Pirates of the Caribbean and all that. I think that it's interesting in the stories we love to hear, and I think it's true whether your favorites center around science fiction and fantasy or romance, romantic comedy, drama, adventure. I think it says something about us, given how often in the stories we love to hear, love to read, love to see played out on the silver screen or through live theater or whatever, how often destiny is at the center of what is portrayed. It might be the Tia Dalma in Pirates of the Caribbean. You have a touch of destiny about you, William Turner. It might be the evil emperor to young Luke in Star Wars. Give in to your anger. It is your destiny. It might be the destiny of lovers in Sleepless in Seattle or Return to Me. But it seems to me that the more I look at it, the more I think about it, we identify with that in some genre or format. Each of us connect with destiny-connected stories because we were created to long to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, something greater than ourselves, something more grand than our, no offense, puny little lives could ever amount to on their own. Why do we like it? At least I do. When a hapless Jack Sparrow survives again to sail another day. Why do we like it when Jason Bourne fights to uncover the secrets of his forgotten identity? I've only seen the first one in that series. I'm sure I'm not up on all that goes on there. Why do we like it, ladies, when Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, I don't even remember their names of the characters they play, finally discover each other on the top of the Empire State Building in Sleepless in Seattle. Why? Because something in us would love to know, hear me, something in us connects with that because we would love to know that there is some kind of master plan to all this madness we call life, and better yet, that we actually have a place in it, that we actually have a role to play, that we actually have a destiny to fulfill. Let there be no doubt about it then, my friend. As one of God's redeemed, you have a destiny to fulfill because the people of God are a people of destiny. We hinted at it last Sunday when we quoted from Ephesians chapter 2. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I'll confess to you that I read that, and it doesn't seem like an overwhelmingly compelling destiny. Oh, okay, so I've got these good works. I've got these good deeds I'm supposed to do. Does that really make me anything more than a glorified Boy Scout? But tie verses like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, to what we've read a moment ago from the book of Isaiah about the powerful Word of God that goes forth, accomplishing the purpose for which God sent it forth, causing the earth to bud and flourish, accomplishing what God desires, achieving the purpose for which He sent it forth. Tie verses like that together, and it seems to me to put the whole thing in an entirely different light. I am being engaged by the God of the universe to participate with Him in the advance of His kingdom. It is an unstoppable kingdom. It is an unending kingdom. The Lord will give Him the throne of His father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And my place in it is established. My destiny is sure. For He, God, has prepared for me acts of righteousness, good works that are more than just nice things I ought to do. They are actions and engagements on a spiritual level in the spiritual realm by which kingdom advance, the advance of God's kingdom, is achieved. Do not miss this. There is something divine about this whole matter. Isaiah begins this section of chapter 55 by declaring how different this destiny is from the ordinary. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. What we're talking about here engages the spiritual realm, the supernatural realm. This is no ordinary calling. This is no ordinary destiny. We are a people who acknowledge the existence of an entire world that simply cannot be seen with the naked eye. We affirm the existence of a spiritual realm, a world about which most of our world, quite honestly, is ignorant. And the fact is, many on this globe who are aware of the existence of this unseen spiritual realm still remain deceived as to the nature of it. Some are deceived because they think the outcome of things is somehow in doubt. Understand that that is not the question. One might suggest it's not unlike professional wrestling. The winner's already been settled and the rest is just for show. God says about the nature of His Word, about the nature of His purpose, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Jesus declared it plainly upon the cross it is finished. At that moment, the Bible says, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. Rocks split. This was all a done deal at Calvary. But there is some mopping up to do in the spiritual realm. There are pockets of resistance to be overcome, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And we, the people of God, are engaging history and eternity on a spiritual level in the spiritual realm. This is where those good deeds prepared in advance for us to do are found. I must be working awful hard up here this morning. I'm sweating and everything. Am I the only one working hard this morning? Some of you don't believe me. Some of you aren't really quite willing to get there yet. It seems to you to be a bit extreme to think this way, to think really, really about our lives, just a bit off center, to be talking about an unseen spiritual realm in which our destiny is found and fulfilled. But if you're going to say that about what I've got on my heart this morning, just know that you'd have to be calling the Bible a little off center too. The Bible says that when Jesus, this is just an example, but the Bible says that when Jesus presented himself as the once for all sacrifice for our sins, he did so in the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, not part of this creation. The Apostle Paul says that our battles are not against flesh and blood, but what? Against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are tied in to a spiritual realm. We've got a divine connection. These good deeds prepared in advance for us to do are tied inextricably to that living Word of God that goes forth supernaturally in the spiritual realm, higher than our ways, just as the heavens are higher than the earth. We are a people of divine destiny. Jack Sparrow has nothing on me. It's not just that I'm a million times better looking. I heard that. Where's Gary? But my wife, I heard her say, "Yes, you are, honey." The chair rules that this motion carries the day. Luke Skywalker's challenges, given to your anger. And his opportunities, they don't hold a candle to mine. The drama of two lovers finding their way through the distractions and pitfalls to actually discover one another in the closing moments of a feature film do not begin to hold a candle to the drama and wonder of how Jesus Christ pursues you and me as members together of His bride, the church. That, my friend, is great drama and compelling destiny. We, this fellowship, I'm talking Jefferson Assembly of God in Meriden, Kansas. How many of you know God likes to do things in sleepy little towns? How many of you know Nazareth probably wasn't even on the map? Wasn't too much to be said about Bethlehem hiding there in the shadow of Jerusalem. God snuck up on them all. We are a people of destiny. And our opportunity to partner with Christ in the advance of His powerful word, His eternal purpose, is secure. His word has gone forth, and it will accomplish the purpose for which He sent it forth. What remains to be seen, what is yet to be uncovered and discovered, is just what role we will play, whether we'll show up at the right time, hitting our marks and catching our cues. The question that remains is this one: will we step up and fulfill our destiny in Christ. Will we step up and fulfill our destiny in Christ? See, this is something that I think is a little difficult to get our minds around sometimes. God's will shall be done in the earth. Don't doubt it. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth, God says. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Perhaps one way to say it is like this. God's will, we know, God's will is not always done, but God's will, you can be sure, will ultimately be done. He is a God, Ephesians says, who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of His will. And one of the things that means is that He's big enough, He's grand enough, He's great enough, that your lack of participation in His plan, or even your willful and disobedient rebellion against His will not disrupt the accomplishment of His purposes. When Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to a cross, it sure seemed like the end, didn't it? Oh, come on, I know we're this side of the resurrection, but think about it for a minute. Didn't it seem like it was all over when they nailed Him to the cross? How many of you know when Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in Jerusalem to conspire against Jesus, whom God anointed, they did only what God's power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Here's a newsflash for you. You'll not outsmart God. You'll not outmaneuver Him. Whatever you do to try to thwart Him is only going to come right back on you. His ways are not your ways, and His thoughts are not your thoughts, and the truth is you don't want to mess with that. The question is not, will His word accomplish what He desires and the purpose for which He sent it forth? The question is, will we, the people of God, step up and do those things God prepared in advance for us to do as participants in the advance of His word and the accomplishment of His will? Will we fulfill our destiny in Christ? Let's get a little more personal. Will you fulfill your destiny in Christ? Let me just clarify something here. Sometimes when others speak of destiny, of someone's destiny, they speak of a predetermined, unalterable fate, something that's all settled beforehand by the gods, as it were, apart from any choice or action on your part. When I speak of your destiny in Christ, when the Bible describes what we might call destiny, it is very much dependent upon what each of us chooses to do with the opportunities before us. Someone has said it plainly like this: decision determines destiny. There is a place of significance. There is a role of significance mapped out for you in the spiritual realm. The truth is, deep down, it's something your heart longs for. To matter forever to God your Creator and to humanity for whom He died. There is a place of significance mapped out for you in the spiritual realm, a place you latch onto, grab hold of, that powerful, advancing, effective, conquering word of the living God, and as you grab a hold of it, you participate with God in kingdom advance that alters eternity. But your destiny in Christ is only fulfilled as you choose it. That's just worth saying again. Your destiny in Christ is only fulfilled as you choose it. It's simple, little bitty stuff How many of you know it's the little foxes that spoil the vine? Commitments made and kept. Disciplines followed. Obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit when the opportunity is given. It's the small stuff, but the fact is, your destiny in Christ is only fulfilled as you choose it. It comes in those difficult moments. The truth is, it's not a bad scene when the emperor says to Luke, go ahead and give in to your anger. Come over to the dark side. It is your destiny. How many of you know it will seem like such a difficult choice at moments, such a challenging time at moments, and yet so much will rest on the smallest of decisions? I should just stick to my notes. Because I don't want to tie everything I'm saying into, you know, your connection to the life of this church. But you know what? When you make a commitment, it'd be good to hold it. It'd be good to carry it out, wouldn't it? You say, well, I can't make the nursery this morning. And for 12 months, some woman has been praying that her husband would get up on Sunday morning and come to church. And the morning you decide you can't make it because Joey has a ball game. Oh, now you're really messing with this preacher. Is the morning that man gets up and says, honey, I think I'll come to church this morning if you'd like to. And so she bundles up her kids. And she's so delighted to come through the doors of this church with her husband. And she finally makes it in. And there's nobody to watch her kids, nobody to care for, nobody to receive her at the nursery. Now, I can pick any ministry in this church and say the same thing. Not picking on nursery workers. If there's anybody I can't stand to offend, it's the nursery workers. If you're a nursery worker, I love you, and I wasn't talking about you, even if you have missed your last three assignments. You see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to tell you, it's not the big stuff. I mean, there's a place where the big stuff matters, but a lot of times it's just the little stuff. Just the itty-bitty stuff. Your destiny in Christ is only fulfilled as you choose it. Reject it. Ignore it. It'll be lost. I'm convinced it'll be passed on to someone else. Take the talent from the one who's done nothing with it and give it to the one who's doing something with it. Taken up and achieved by another, because God's purpose will prevail and His kingdom shall be established without end. But the fact is, when it comes to you and your connection to this thing and your eternal destiny in Christ, your calling to make a difference for all eternity, your calling to latch a hold of this advancing word that powerfully goes forth and accomplishes the purposes for which He sent it forth, your destiny in Christ is up to you and only fulfilled as you choose it. And I come to just tell you that it's time to get on board or step away from the tracks, because the train is leaving the station. That's not intended. That's intended to be a loving challenge, rebuke, encouragement. Grab a hold of you and pull you in statement from your pastor. Boy, if this is your first Sunday here, come back and try us another week, would you? If you've been here, and if you've got any sense at all, God's up to something. And wherever God's at work, He's always up to something good. If he's up to something good and he wants to invite me to be a part of it, and his powerful word is going to advance and like the rain and the snow, don't come down without and return to the heavens without watering the earth and causing it to bud and to flourish. How many of you like that picture of bounty and abundance and harvest and just growth and progress? If he's up to something good and he's inviting me to be a part of it, I don't want to miss it. And the truth is, I don't want you to miss it either. I don't want to miss a window of opportunity here that God is giving our church and having pass it on to somebody else. Well, there it went. Boy, good things are happening there. Now, I want good things to happen there and there and there and there, but I don't want good things to happen here. That's up to me, and it's up to you. God is speaking boldly and plainly that his people will be a people of invitation. Come, all you who are thirsty. Not just those of you who fit our profile. Not just those of you who are most like us. Not just those of you who know how to speak Christianese or dress the right way or do the right things in the context. Come, anyone, everyone who is thirsty. God's people are a people of invitation. God's people are a people of influence. You will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. I've had it with these foreigners in our country. Maybe God brought them here to get them saved. Well, I'm just in trouble now. I'm just in trouble. I'm not talking about immigration reform or what the laws. I think they ought to enforce the laws they got on the book and build a fence. It's okay with me. But I'm just saying, what are you going to do with this Bible verse that describes the people of God and the work Christ will do through his church and says, nations, you'll summon nations you don't even know, and nations who don't know you will hasten to you. They'll beat a path to your door because God's up to something, because God has crowned you with splendor, because he's at work among you. What are you going to do with that? God does that. Not everybody in this congregation will be white. A few of you are saying, well, I'm not white. I know. I love you. I'm so glad you're here. Should I just get my resignation ready now? He doesn't say, if your county is 98% Caucasian, this verse doesn't apply to you. That footnote is not in your translation. His people will be a people of opportunity. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. We know God shows up on purpose. He's already there ahead of us. He's drawn near so that he might act redemptively in people's lives. And all we get to do is grab a hold of those opportunities God gives and bring them to completion. His people are a people of destiny. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I think the train's fixing to leave the station. I want to know who's ready to get on board. He's prepared in advance good works for you to do. They're not just good deeds that'll get you points when you get to heaven. Oh, he did a good deed. Let's put a gold star on his chart. They're tied into this advancing word that goes forth to accomplish the purposes of God. To establish this kingdom that will never end. Train's fixing to pull out. Who's on board? I'm going to sing a song that speaks of the return of Christ, the promise of his return, all he's doing. I sing this song because it blesses those who likes it and irritates those who don't. Even if you don't care for the tune, even if you can't keep all the words straight, if it's in your heart to say, okay, God, if you're up to something, if you're doing some good thing, oh God, I want to be a part of it. I want to be on board. I don't want my opportunity to pass to somebody else. I don't want this church's opportunity to pass to somebody else. Oh God, come thy kingdom, be done thy will in my life. These are days of impact. These are days of import. These days matter, and what I do and what I choose makes a difference. If you can say amen to that in your heart, I want you to stand and sing it with me. Come on. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.